The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. Currently, we're in a series where we're exploring the different meanings of the word saved in the New Testament. In this series, we're digging into five different New Testament books, and right now we're looking at James, specifically James 2:14. This is continued from our last episode on Friday. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're in a series on salvation in five different New Testament books. It's based on an article that will be appearing in the Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society later in 2021, the Autumn Journal. And we are in James, the book of James. Specifically, we're talking about James 2:14. And let me just read what that says. I'm sure this is a verse everyone's familiar with. Here's what it says. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? So how do people understand this?
Peter Davids has written one of the leading commentaries on James, and I have a short quote here from him. He says, that which will be useless in the final judgment, notice he somehow brings in final judgment out of nothing,
okay,
is a faith lacking works. The hypothetical situation introduced by eon, which means if, is described as a person, quote, claiming to have faith, unquote. And now he's still continuing his quote. And a claim it is, for whatever the content of the faith in terms of orthodox belief, pious expressions, prayers, etc., it appears only in the person's verbalizations and ritual actions, but not in such deeds as would prove the reality of an eschatological hope. Eschatological means last days, last days hope. And then I leave a short portion out that wasn't essential, and he concludes, works are not an added extra to faith, but are an essential expression of it. So that's the common understanding of James 2:14 and following.
All right, wait. Explain that to me
okay.
Like I'm 6 years old.
Okay. Basically, what he's saying is, when James says, what does it profit, my brethren, he's talking about what good is it for you when your eternal destiny is going to be determined at the great white throne judgment.
All right.
He believes every person will be judged there, and that's when your destiny will be determined.
Okay.
If someone says, and he puts the emphasis on saying,
they're just claiming.
They claim they have faith, but they don't have works that back up their faith. His answer is, it doesn't profit them at all. They're going to hell or the lake of fire forever.
So it's he sees the word save. He thinks heaven or hell. A lot of people do.
Right.
And works is what makes the difference.
Right. And so, even though most people, including Peter Davids, don't want to say that we're saved by faith plus works in terms of eternal salvation, we're not regenerated by faith plus works, yet he'll say if you don't have the works, you're not going to experience what he would call final salvation.
Right.
What we would say is, wait a minute, salvation is final the moment you believe, right? John 3:16, whoever believes in him guaranteed won't perish, but guaranteed has everlasting
life. Eternal salvation is final at that moment.
Right.
But as we've been exploring in this series, salvation and save has more than one meaning. It's not always eternal salvation.
Exactly. In James, it's salvation from the deadly consequences of sin, which is various consequences in our life now and ultimately even a shortening of the life. And notice how 15 and 16 proves this. If a brother or sister is naked, notice it's a brother or sister. This is a fellow person in the church.
Right.
And by the way, this is someone, R.T. Kendall points out that 2:14 should not be understood as separate from 2:1-13.
Okay.
2:1-13 deals with poor people and rich people in the church.
Yeah.
And now he's talking about one of the poor people he's already talked about in the church.
Right.
And he says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you, that is one of the brethren, says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled. So notice the saying goes back to 2:14. Someone says, well, this isn't an issue of what they believe about eternal life. This is what we believe about loving one another.
Right.
Do we believe it's a good thing to want to love one another? Do we believe that it's more blessed to give than receive?
Right. Do we understand this is a command? You know, this is Christian ethics is not very complicated. It comes down to that one word, L-O-V-E.
Right.
Now, are you going to do something about it?
And if I say be filled and be warmed, which is a loving statement, but I don't give them any food or clothing,
yeah,
then James says, what use is it? His point is, just like he started out with what does it profit or what use is it, he ends the same way. And he's basically saying, look, if you don't apply your faith,
this implanted word that we have,
James 1:21,
if we don't put it into practice,
then we don't benefit because right. God's going to judge us. And the other person doesn't benefit because they're still hungry and they're still cold.
Right.
And so we're called to help them. And then in verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Is using the word dead figuratively in right. the sense of useless, unprofitable.
So this knowledge isn't helping you if you don't put it into practice.
And it doesn't help the other person.
Let me give a really silly illustration, but it's a real illustration. That
yes.
My son Zane, he's just like my wife. If my wife doesn't eat, she gets hangry and cranky and all this stuff.
But when Did you say hangry?
Hangry, hungry, angry, right? And Zane, he's not a bad kid. He had all these fits. And we finally caught on, wait a second, when he's just had cereal, just the carbs and with the honey on it and all that stuff, he starts having fits. But if he eats protein in the morning, he is a calm, normal little boy. And so when he starts being uncooperative, we've told him, listen, this is because you need to eat something. So when you're feeling that way, go eat something, eat some eggs, eat some meat, some cheese, something with protein, and you're going to feel differently. And now he knows that. But the question is, does he put it into practice? That affects not only him, but it affects all of us. Because when he is flipping out, we're all being affected.
And so that's a good point. So he believes eating right is important for his health.
He knows that if he's flipping out, he needs protein, he will calm down.
Right.
And it's almost immediate. It happens within a couple minutes.
But if he doesn't apply it.
But if he doesn't apply that, he's just tears and he's flopping on the ground like a fish. And same thing here, okay, but in a more serious way. If you know how God wants you to live and you do not put that word into practice in your life, you're not going to reap the benefit of obedience to God.
That's exactly right. By the way, this is brought out in the preceding context. You remember Peter Davids makes the point that verse 14 is talking about saying without doing. Well, it's interesting. Two verses before, in James 2:12, James already said that. He said, so speak, that's saying,
yeah,
and so do, right. that's doing, as those who will be judged by the law of liberty.
Right.
He's talking about the judgment seat of Christ, and he's talking about the commands in the New Testament when he calls them the law of liberty.
Sure.
And he's saying, we're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, not just for what we say,
sure.
but also for what we do.
Right, be doers and not hearers only.
And so then in 14, you've got someone says but doesn't do. And then in 15 and 16, you've got someone saying but not doing. And the point is, if you say but don't do, it's unprofitable. So let's say, for example, you tell your children that they should not drink. Drinking is bad because it leads to drunkenness. And so they shouldn't drink at all before they're an adult. But even after they're an adult, you're encouraging them, let's say, not to drink at all.
Sure.
Let's say you come, like I do, from an alcoholic family.
Yeah.
Or let's say you say to them, okay, when you become an adult, go ahead and you can drink, but you need to drink in moderation.
Yeah.
But let's say that the example you give to them is one where you're getting drunk repeatedly.
Yeah.
And you're drunk in front of your children. You're saying the right thing,
mm-hmm.
but you're doing exactly the wrong thing.
Right.
And you're setting a horrible example for your children.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you believe that for you yourself and for your children, it would be best if you never get drunk. But yet you're getting drunk.
Yeah.
And so it's not profiting you. What you believe is not profiting you or your kids. Now, I would say, if you find yourself in that situation, stop drinking entirely. To get intoxicated
right.
is wrong.
That's
it's sin. And so, from my perspective, if I don't drink at all, I don't get intoxicated.
Sure.
So
sure.
I don't drink a drop. And it's sure. not a religious thing. It's just, I don't do it. My point is, application of the Word of God is important, and how you apply the Word of God affects others around you.
It sure
so
does.
Like you as a parent, If Zane sees you eating properly,
right,
and not going through these temper tantrums, then
sure,
eventually he's going to learn, I want to follow my dad, I want to follow my mom, I want to be like them, yeah, so I'm going to start eating right.
Right. You need that application not only to help yourself, but to help everyone around you. Now, not every truth has a direct application like, you know, don't get drunk. Some of it just changes your mind and your perspective on the world and your worldview.
Well, actually, a lot of it. But how we think, as you can see in our world today,
right,
like what's going on with COVID-19, and whether you agree with all the responses, different ways of looking at that have radically different impacts on the way our society continues, on people losing their jobs, etc.
Sure.
Same thing with politics. When you have an election, new people are put into office, it can have a significant impact. Why? Because they think differently.
Oh, absolutely. Now, coming back to James, I've said before, and I have an e-book on this, that James is wisdom literature.
Yes.
Right? And wisdom.
And that's a free e-book.
That's a free e-book. You can get it at faithalone.org. And wisdom is, I don't know if they're rules, maybe they're proverbs for living.
Yeah, we used to say in seminary the Hebrew word chokmah. Like,
chokmah,
yeah. It means skill in living. So wisdom, chokmah, skill in living. Greek would be sophia, you know, is wisdom.
So this is, how do you live through life where you're going to grow in your relationship with God and grow as a human being and avoid these pitfalls that so many other people fall into? That's what James is about.
Absolutely. And so when you read through James and you see the word save, you should pause and go, wait a minute, I heard some messages on this. I think this may be talking not about salvation from eternal condemnation, but it's talking about being saved from the deadly consequences of sin. And so I need to be one who puts what I believe into practice. And that's what James is talking about. And I think in the next show, Sean, we could probably do two different passages because they're the easiest ones in James. That's 4:12 and 5:15. And then maybe in the last show, we could go to 5:19 and 20.
All right, let's do that. Keep on tuning in to your local station or listening to us online, and we'll continue this series on salvation in five different New Testament books. See you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we'll continue our look at James, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.